Greetings, everybody. Good evening from New York. Welcome to another episode of Bards Rise. I am your host, Michael Dean. Tonight, we have a very special show for you. Not one, not two, not three, but four guests. I'm sure you'll recognize them from Q's homesteading show. First, I'd like to give shout outs to my subscribers. Thank you, thank you, thank you, as well as all the listeners out there. So, tonight's guests are Mike and Leah from Michigan, Robin from Michigan, and also Kelly from Michigan. We're going to be talking about homesteading and Mike and Leah's experience in the courthouse today. So, Leah, why don't you tee this up for us? Talk to us briefly about what you did with your properties regarding homestead.
Hi there. So, yep, so we homesteaded both of our, well, actually three of our properties, but two of the properties were up for foreclosure today at the courthouse. And so we went through with the whole process. We did all the proper documentation. And
You say the process, you're talking about the process that Q has on his show page.
Yes. Yep.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So we followed that whole process, and we were served about a month ago. They posted papers on our one on our mailbox at our home and our residence, and then one at our building, our community center building, on the door. So that was about 30 days ago, I think, saying that they were putting the house up for a sheriff's sale.
Okay.
So, yep. So
thank you.
I'll let you keep going. Yep.
Thank you. Thank you. now, going to Mike, can you explain to us what options are there for a bank to foreclose on a property in Michigan?
Well, right now, so there's one. There is one that's a judicial foreclosure. And that's less common is what it says when we're reading on this, but there's also a foreclosure by advertisement, and that is what they were doing. So they were advertising this on, there's some websites, and I think some people that purchase these foreclosed homes and fix them up and sell them, I think that they're on these. And so, they tell you kind of what they're asking for them, what, you know, to buy, to assume the debt. And, I'll let you go ahead, Michael, and you can answer or ask any other questions or explain everything.
No, thank
else.
You. I appreciate that. So they have two different options, and they chose the foreclosure by sale. So back to Leah. Leah, you said that you received notice. Was there anything significant about the notice that you received?
Well, I mean, after we reviewed it, and actually you kind of helped point that out to us. So the address that they had posted on there was at a different courthouse than where the actual sale was. So, you
know,
just
trying to sandbag you, huh?
Yes. Yep. Yeah. And so we talked to the sheriff this week, and he said, "Well, you planning on going?" He asked Mike that, and Mike said, "Yes, we do plan on going." And he said, "Well, I noticed in your paperwork you thought it was in Mason at the courthouse, Mason, Michigan, and it was in Lansing." So,
okay,
totally different.
So,
yep.
And obviously, you guys went to Lansing. Now, back to Mike, why did you guys decide to show up? Because you had the option to just ignore everything, as has been suggested. So why did you guys decide to go?
So for us, we figured, well, honestly, a lot of this is consulting with, especially the, you know, everybody that's part on here right now, getting advice. But also we feel like if we're going to do this, and we need to be an expert at it, and we need to see exactly how this entire process works. And we learned, and I think I can speak for all of us, but we all learned so much today just by being there. We learned a lot.
Okay. And in your decision-making process and deciding to go, was there any drawback from what you could tell to going today?
There was, once we got there, like we didn't notice, there was a heavy presence of officers there today, for sure. Maybe
Okay, but
five at
or
least,
six.
maybe six.
but as far as legally, like, would you have been in a more legal advantageous position if you had not gone?
I don't.
Yeah, we're
Right,
not sure.
because I think when we were talking about this, right, we kind of like talked it out that worst case scenario, if you didn't go, eventually it would wind up at in court for an action to eject you. And if you did go, it would kind of wind up in the same way. So if you could just explain that mental process that you went through.
Yeah, go ahead, Vic.
Well, I was going to say we did pass out flyers, and we're not sure if maybe there were buyers that maybe were going to buy and they chose not to after we made flyers that said that they were federal homestead, that we have the original land patent and allodial title, and I cited a few cases, said that it was unlawful to sell federally patented land. And then, we cited some things on the back, and we actually, Kelly actually went and handed it to the deputy sheriff. And she said, well, his face kind of turned white when he looked at that. But yeah, so there was a lot of buzz in the room because we passed these flyers out and it said not for sale. So we're not sure if that made an impact on any buyers. There was quite a few people there, but we're not
Yeah.
sure. So.
Okay. Yeah, we'll get that in a second. It,
Yes.
before I forget, if you sent, would it be okay if you sent that flyer to me and then I'll post it on my show page so people could take a look at it if they want?
Yes, sure.
Awesome. Okay. So back to, is Mike, is it fair to say that after going through this, you figured that you would be in the same position legally, worst case scenario, if you went as opposed to not going. So you decided to go to get that experience.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Good. Thank you. So who was the first one at the courthouse out of the four of you?
I was.
Okay, Robin. So let's set this up. What happened when you got there?
Okay, so I went in there. I introduced myself to the two officers there. I told them that I was from the Awakening Wave show from BBS Radio and that I was going to be interviewing Mike and Leah Dalton in regard to the property that was being auctioned off. And I
Okay,
asked them if it was.
oh, just quick pause. Let me interject. So
Okay.
you went as a member of the media as well as their friend.
I sure did.
Okay, go ahead.
And they gave me permission. They said it was okay to film in there. And then as soon as I went around the corner, another guy came out and he wanted to know who I was. And he said, "What radio station did you say you're from?" And I said, "BBS Radio." And I am Robin Lee, the host of the Awakening Wave show. And he was really nice, introduced himself and everything was good. But it was very interesting because when the actual auction started, one of the police officers came up to me before we started and he told me that I couldn't film unless I had everybody's permission. So I said, "But I can film myself, right?" And he said, "Yeah." And so from there, we also talked to the marshal, and I asked the marshal if it would be okay to ask questions before they start the auction, and he said yes. And as soon as they
Hold on,
started,
let me just
okay,
interject.
sorry.
When you say the marshal or the sheriff?
No, it was what was his title, Leah, again? Yeah, he was the marshal.
Deputy Sheriff.
Deputy
Deputy
Sheriff.
Sheriff.
Okay. Okay.
Sorry,
And this
I have
was a
my
local deputy sheriff,
Yes.
not
And he,
federal. Okay. I'm
right.
sorry. Go ahead, please.
Okay, and he said that it would be okay to ask questions, but when they started, I said, "I have a few questions." He goes, "Ma'am, we're not doing that right now." And I said, "But," and he goes, "Ma'am, not right now." So then he started going into the sale for the properties prior to that. So we just let him kind of continue. And then when it came to Mike and Leah's property, that's when I spoke up, and my camera person was on the other side of the room, and I said, "As soon as I start talking, start filming." And then I said to him, I said, "Excuse me, but is everyone aware that this is federally homesteaded land under the Homestead Act and cannot be foreclosed or auctioned off at the state and local level, and that it has a patent that has been granted and it becomes the private property of Mike and Leah Dalton?" And then he shut me down right on the spot, and all these people were kind of like looking at each other. But they also had the flyers
Hold on.
ahead of
How did
time.
he shut you down? What did he do?
He goes, "Ma'am, we're not doing that right here now." And then I started talking some more, and then he just kind of shut me down. And the police officers were standing there, so we didn't get any footage because I think they intimidated the cameraman or person, and so we didn't get the footage. But we were able to ask the questions, but we didn't get any answers. He just didn't want anybody hearing, right? Mike and Leah, would you guys heard the conversation?
Sure did. Absolutely. That's what I felt. I felt like he did not want that mentioned in that lobby area, which was a very, very informal.
Yeah, it was.
Robin, give us an idea of what his body language was like when you were trying to speak up.
Well, he kind of raised his voice a little bit, and he was just like, "Ma'am, not right here now. You're not going to be able to answer the questions." And so I just kind of piped down because they had three, and I thought they were sheriffs because they all had sheriff on the back of their uniform, and they were standing there with their arms across their chest, and I'm like, that was just really odd to have three of them there for the auction. The whole scenario was just really strange.
Yeah,
It
that's
wasn't a
called the
good vibe.
men's when they send a bunch of guys there, a show of
Yeah.
force. The
Yep.
men's, that's the term. Okay, so anything else you want to add?
No, I think that's it. Prior to the sale, I actually talked to a few of the people that were buying the house, or bidding on some of the houses in the hallway. And I was able to have some conversation with one woman, and she was representing a large company, so she was looking to buy some property. And so I think after we told her about the homestead, she kind of looked it up prior to the auction, and I think we put a dent in the sale for sure.
Well, I'm sure you did. Great. Okay, so Robin was first. Who was next?
Kelly was next.
Okay, Kelly, go ahead. What happened when you got to the courthouse?
We just walked in, went through security. There really wasn't anybody there. We just met with Robin and talked, and we just saw, I think, the one lady that looked like she was bidding maybe for another company. She seemed to be pretty formal and organized. And then just waited for Mike and Leah to get there. And then as it got close to the time, a lot more people, of course, were showing up. And then we walked into the lobby area.
Okay, and what happened when you got to the lobby area?
People are just standing around. Like, so there was a lot of sheriffs there. It seemed like way more than necessary. At least four or five, maybe even six. There was a group about four or five guys that seemed to know each other.
And w
And
what was significant about these guys? Like, what were they doing there?
I'm not sure. I imagine they were there to watch the bidding process.
Okay, and it's not like they were with the sheriff's office or the court personnel.
Correct. They were
Okay,
not.
all right.
And then there was a few kind of scattered people, looked like individuals there interested in the sale. There was one older gentleman, white hair. He had a newspaper, and it seemed like he had maybe pulled listings for foreclosure out of the paper and had those with him. We did end up talking, or I talked to him quite a bit at the end of the sale. We can talk about that later if you like.
No. Tell us your whole experience. Go ahead. Well, if you,
Well,
I don't
after
know if you
this.
want to get there or if you want to go on, chronologically, and what happened when Mike and Leah got there. Anything significant? Because they'll talk about, their piece, obviously.
Yeah, I can talk about my piece at the end so we can go chronologically.
No, chronology for you. For you. So what
Chronology.
happened? What do you want to talk about next?
It was definitely interesting about the discussions with the recording and the photography because they kept changing their story,
Who's
and
they?
then the different sheriff and security that were there. And finally, the one sheriff, like Robin said, he did come over and pointed out that you couldn't do it without somebody's permission. And then there was a plaque in the lobby that he directed us to, which I do have a picture of if you would like that,
Yeah, sure.
saying that they could confiscate the material if we did use it. and there was no recording in the courthouse. Well, we were actually in the lobby, so that's part of why I didn't record, because we were in the lobby of the courthouse. So to me, that meant you can't do recording, and we had been told by several officers not to.
Okay. Yeah, please send that along. I'll post that as well, and hopefully somebody up there will verify whether or not that's a legal posting for them.
Well,
Yeah.
Mike, can I just
Yeah,
interject
go
real
ahead.
quick? So when I got there, I specifically walked up to the two guys at the front to ask if it was okay. And then there was a third guy that came up and he said it was okay. So we had three people before it even started saying that it was okay to go ahead in a video. But then I think when I said the BBS radio, I think that heads twisting. Oh, the radio station's here. So that was interesting. But the other thing too is that the sheriff that authorized the sale was not there, which I thought was interesting.
What is it? Plausible deniability, right? That's why you won't see the decision makers at these things. So, okay, thank you, Robin. Kelly, back to you. Anything else you want to add?
So I had been in there the day before, 2 days before, trying to do research on the case because I was trying to find some kind of court case. And it was very difficult trying to find anything online at home research. I ended up flying down to Lansing to get on their database, and it was very, very difficult again. It seems like they have their database locked down so the public can only search on very limited fields. You almost have to know exactly what a case is before you can look anything up. Being it was a sheriff's sale, I'm not even sure that there's any case number. If there is, I have no idea how to find it. So this morning when I was there, I was asking about how to find out where the foreclosures are posted. So I went up to the third floor, talked to, I forget the group. I can look at find it later, but I was directed up there, talked to somebody up there, and he led me to a bulletin board on the third floor. And there were several postings for foreclosure on like a public notice board. And we looked through all of them. None of them were Mike and Leah's, so I can only presume maybe theirs had been posted maybe weeks prior. And then going back down into the lobby when the right before the auction was taking place, I just did a lot of observing, trying to see who is who down there. And several times I went on the other side of the room to just kind of observe, people's attitudes, kind of why they might be there, what their frequency was. So I'm going to skip to the end of the sale now. So at the end of sale, there was an older gentleman, white hair. He hung around for a while, and it seemed like he was really trying to let us know what the process is. Almost like taking us under his wing so that we understood how this is to work. And he kept saying, like, if you want to, it was almost like if you want to get your property back, you need to make good with the bank. And here's the process on how to do that. And we kept saying, well, this is Mike and Leah, it's already their property. They have a lodeal title on it. And he didn't want anything to do with that. He kept bringing up title companies and doing the title search. And that's why I said, well, they already have the highest form of title. And I also then stepped over at the end of the sale and talked to the deputy sheriff because he's the one I handed Mike and Leah's flyer to. And I just happened to give him the side that said there was like a $10,000 fine. And pretty sure it said prison time, didn't it, Leah? But he,
Yes.
okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kelly, can I ask you a question? Do you think that that guy had no idea what homesteading was? Because we mentioned it to him several times and he just kind of kept brushing it to the side.
Yeah, he didn't, I would observe that he didn't have any idea, and nor did he seem to want to listen at all. He just wanted to tell us what the process was for the matrix that they all operate in.
They're all robots.
I actually told him, I said that the information you're sharing with us is irrelevant. This is homesteaded property. So what you're telling us is irrelevant.
So what did the guy do when you handed, what did the sheriff do, deputy sheriff do when you handed him the flyer?
Yeah, hand it to them right at the beginning of the sale because I felt like, well, shoot, if they're going to be doing something that's, I mean, I don't know if it's committing a crime, but if it is possibly, he should at least know before he starts doing it. That was my motivation behind it. And he looked at it, and that's when I felt a definite demeanor change. He got very serious and, yeah, very serious. So afterwards, I went up to him and said, "Listen, we're not trying to cause trouble. It's just these people, this is their home already. This shouldn't be taking place. The sheriff's office should be supporting these people's rights, not auctioning off their home." Right? Then I feel like I get a like a displacement of blame. Well, this is, just as with the mortgage. Okay, so then what happens next? And I just kept asking questions with him. Because ultimately, don't want to see somebody showing up to try to displace Mike and Leah from their property, or whoever's showing up doing it to make sure they understand what a loyal title is, so that they're not putting themselves in either in danger or compromised or not aware of, what homesteading law is. And the last thing I want to say is back to the other guy that was had kind of was trying to teach us the process. At the very end of talking to him, the thing he said to me, he says, because I kept challenging him, he said, "The questions you are asking are infuriating people here." I'm like, okay, maybe that's a good thing.
I would say that's a very good thing.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Thank you,
Thank
Kelly.
you.
All right, and now to Mike and Leah. What happened when you guys got to the courthouse?
So we were there. We got there. Robin and Kelly and Chris, they were already all there. And we went to a little room and talked for just a few minutes before we went out to the lobby. They're holding the sheriff's sale in the lobby of the courthouse. So when you walk in, it's right there. Like everybody walks through it, very informal. But the first thing I noticed after we came back out of that room is that there were a lot. So the way we learned, the way it works is that there you have the deputy sheriff, who I believe is appointed by the sheriff to handle the issues at sheriff sales. And then the other guys that were there had sheriff on their back, but they're deputies that work for the sheriff's department. Maybe one of them's a captain or something like that, but they're under the sheriff, even though they have the sheriff on their back written it. They just work for the sheriff's department.
Right.
But there were a heavy presence of them, and I and it was uncomfortable because I mean, they were there for that reason. They were, there's no doubt. Matter of fact, one of the guys walked in and said, "Whoa, what's going on? Why are you guys having a party here today?" To the deputy sheriff, because it was there's so many of them. But
Yeah, and
one
it
thing
was
that's
Mike,
ahead.
just real quick, when we were in the back room in that little coffee place, it was really interesting that one of them sheriffs walked through. He
Yes.
came through the back door and then walked around our table just to kind of see what we were doing. I'm like, okay, well, that was odd. So it was really interesting that there were so many police there.
Yes. And then what was really interesting, and this is kind of what heightened my awareness a little bit. We're standing there and I'm just leaning against the wall. We're just waiting. Everybody's kind of just mingling a little bit, but there's this group of five or six guys, and they're maybe in their 40s, I don't know. But one of them had a suit on, and I was assuming he, because he went upstairs, he went in the elevator, went upstairs. So I was assuming he maybe was an attorney, maybe for the banker. I'm just assuming that. But these guys are standing around and they start talking, and I noticed that they started talking loud enough that I could hear them. It might have been maybe 10 feet from them. And they said, "Well, who would pay their mortgage for 20 years and then just stop paying it all of a sudden?" And he says, "Well," and he said my name. He actually said my full name, first and last. And then he says, "Right there he is. Go talk to him. Ask him why he'd do something like that." Like those guys were there to intimidate us, and that is that. That there's no doubt in my mind they were put there. And there were a lot of them.
But Mike, you didn't just stop, right? I mean, there was
Oh.
a negotiation with the bank, and that's why things kind
Yes.
of went to where they went.
That's correct. So after that, then it kind of like I was aware of everything going around, and I noticed that everybody seemed to be kind of connected. They're patting the sheriff deputy on the back. There, these guys were, and then there was a few other guys that came in that just in street clothes that were standing maybe across the room a little bit, and they were connected. I would see these people come over and talking to them. So they're all connected. I think everybody but maybe three people in that whole room. And I would think maybe 20 people, 25 people. How many people you guys think were there? Am I accurate? 20, 25? I would think so.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
And the maybe three or four were actually there, probably looking at properties on the list. That was it. So I felt right then that we have hit a nerve. There's no doubt about it. There is something that they're talking about. And I can't remember. I'm sorry, guys. I can't remember if it was Kelly or if it was Robin, but somebody said that they started mentioning our name, and they said, "Oh yeah, we're very aware of us, Michael and Leah, in our sheriff's office." So it's something's it's words traveling right now.
Good. Let it travel. Okay, so what
Yep.
happened next?
So they started, it was set to start at 10 o'clock, and they started promptly at 10, right at 10, right on the dot. And they start going through the properties, and then one of the properties, there were eight properties total on the list, and one of the properties got bid on. It was maybe the second or third one that they went through, and they got to our first property. And that's when Robin chimed in, and she started asking questions, and they did not like that. I mean, I felt like we were getting a hole stared right through us by many people today, just there to intimidate us. But especially these guys, if you don't know these guys well, you can't stare a hole through these guys. They don't.
Yeah,
They won't put up with it.
they didn't
Yeah.
expect a radio station to be there.
No. But she started asking questions, and he was not having it. You could tell he's been doing this for a little while, and he was not, you were not going to go out of his order. But they get to our place, and they did it, our first one. Nobody bid on it. And I'm thinking, wow, okay. And then they get to our next one, which is our house, and he goes through, and nobody bid on it. I was waiting for this group of guys that were so connected to do something. There was something that they're doing. I still don't know what it was. There's something that reason they were there. So he closed it like 10 minutes, 15 minutes later. Well, there were still 15, 20 minutes to go, because I guess you can go. So he closed the sale, but you still had until 10:30 to bring your offer. So one of the guys leave, or a couple of them leave, and they go upstairs, and then one of them come back down after maybe, I don't know, maybe 5 minutes, and just stood there. And I think they may, at first I thought he was coming down to sneak a bid in or something right at the last minute, but he didn't do it. So I think maybe they were waiting for us to bid on the property, or to have somebody that was with us bid on it. Because the dollar amounts on here, Michael, that they posted today are nowhere close, especially for a house, what they had it listed for online. It's within $300,000 difference. So there's just something not right. It's a very, and I
In other
don't know what it
words,
is yet.
I'm sorry. In other words, they posted it for much lower than what it's actually worth.
Today was much lower. The sheet they gave us, the starting bid was much, $300,000 at least. No, it was $400,000. $400,000 less than what they had it listed for online when they were advertising.
They're trying to have a fire sale because they don't want to deal with your headache.
I think maybe you're right. Maybe that's
Maybe
what it
that's
is.
why,
Get it out
because
of their hair.
yeah, and nobody bought it.
Right.
You know, Leah, when you first started to give those guys that flyer, remember they said, no, we don't want one. Then all of a sudden, when we talked about the foreclosure or I mean the patent, then they said, well, here, give us one of those. And they all took one. And I think they started researching it, and that's what maybe changed their mind about bidding on it.
Well, then one of the guys came up to me like a few minutes later and said, "Can I have another one? I gave mine to someone else." And I said to him, "Sure." I said, "Are you going to bid on these properties?" I said, "Did you do the title work?" And he kind of smirked and he said, "Yeah." And I said, "Okay, well, if once we win, maybe I can help you with the process." I think he might have been a lawyer, one of the lawyers. I'm not sure though. I don't know.
So you brought up a good point, right? Did he do his research? Tell us about the filings with the clerk's office, right? I think that you said something that there was a discrepancy.
Which one was that?
With Ingham County,
With
we
as
went
far as
go. Oh,
the
I'm sorry. Yes.
indexing of the documents.
Yeah. So we went through and I was curious that I wanted to make sure, because it wasn't hard for us when we filed our paperwork, but they had to bring the manager or, the people in charge over. So, I mean, everybody was confused. And so I know somebody in the industry, and I was able to have them do some title work for us. And I just wanted to make sure, even though we have certified copies of all of our documents that we filed, I wanted to make sure that if somebody was looking and researching and the title companies were researching, they were going to be able to find these documents. Well, our house came back fine, but the other building we have did not. It was actually missing in the title work all three documents that we posted, which was the quick take claim deed, the forever benefits, and
The notice
the
of agreement.
notice. So
Okay,
all those were missing.
and why is that significant if somebody was trying to do their due diligence?
Right. So if somebody's trying to do their due diligence, they don't see these forms. They're going to say, and the title company's going to say, this is perfect title. We will, that's what you hire a title company for. We will guarantee the title's clean and clear. So if they can't see those, or if those are hidden, or then it's a that's a problem. Nobody's going to understand that.
So it's a problem for the potential buyer, right?
Correct.
So
Right.
that's another way that the bank slash government was trying to sandbag the smaller potential buyer and protect the bank,
Right.
right?
Right.
Okay. All right. So take us back to the sale. Like, what happened next after they closed the bidding?
So after they closed the bid, there was maybe 20 minutes left. And so there, a lot of people were standing around just talking. And so I walk up and I asked the deputy sheriff, I said, "So is it over now? Is the sale over?" Because he didn't explain that at first. He said, "Is the sale?" I said, "Is the sale over?" And he goes, "No." I said, "Can people still bid?" He goes, "Yes." He goes, "It goes until 10:30." And kind of snapped at me. So I snapped back a little bit and I just said, "Well, I'm sorry. I didn't know. This is my first time here. I'm asking you since you run it." And he goes, "Yeah, you have until 10:30 to bid on on these properties." And I said, "Oh, okay. Okay." I said, "Even though nobody bid on them when you're going through and asking?" He goes, "Yes, you can come back and you can bid on these properties up until 10:30." And I said, "Okay. All right." So then I said, "Listen, I wanted to get it out of the way." And I said this because I actually spoke to our county sheriff this last Monday. And I said, "You guys, listen," I said, "I know there's a heavy presence of you guys here right now." I said, we are all here in peace. We appreciate everything you do. We thank you guys for putting your life on the line for us to protect us and to uphold the Constitution every day. So thank you." I said, "We're just here. We want our rights upheld. That's it. We're not doing it. We're not here to cause trouble. We're not, we're trying to do this the right way." So I said, "You guys don't need to have such a presence. That's not what we are doing here. That's not us." So just, and they kind of lightened up a little bit because they did have their big guy. They had their big guy. He's definitely for the county. He's the enforcer guy that they put on to intimidate people. No doubt about it. They had him there standing right next to the
He
deputy
just
sheriff.
stares
And
at
he didn't talk. He just looked like Mr. Clean. But they lightened up a little bit after that. And then they actually turned their back a couple times. Before, they weren't turning their back. They were looking right at us, wanting to make sure we didn't get out of hand.
And there was an actual, after we left, there was an officer in the parking lot with a dog.
But some of this stuff, Michael, we're assuming certain things and wondering if he's tied to it because it was a courthouse, and I think they are
Might
having
be.
actual hearings upstairs in there, in the courtroom. So But it was just weird. He walked out right after we walked out at 10:30. He walked out with his dog, and he was not in uniform, but he was maybe had a he had a vest on. But he had his dog with him, you know, the German Shepherd
Right.
canine.
I think the enforcer guy was the one I went over across the room and stood right next to him.
Good for you. Good for you. I'm gonna say I just feeling into this. I wouldn't be surprised if the higher ups are trying to discredit all of you and what you're trying to do as being tied to some type of extremist organization and potential terrorist organization, right? When we're not about that at all, but that's what they want to project out onto you again to discredit you and what you're trying to do.
I would agree with you.
Okay, anything else you want to add?
Kelly, were you going to say something?
I wanted to add in the one guy at the end of the whole discussion, the one that was trying to teach us about the whole foreclosure process. He says, it's like you're trying to make this into a civil rights issue. I'm like, well, it is a civil rights issue. You're trying to take these people's property from
Good for you. Good for
them.
you. Anybody else?
Nope.
Okay, general question to all of you. Is there anything that you guys would change or would like to see have happened differently from today? So, Robin, we'll start with you.
Yes, I would have liked to been able to ask the questions and also talk with the sheriffs in regard to their assisting Mike and Leah with their property in this whole thing where they're auctioning it off. There's got to be some kind of violation here, especially since the sheriff authorized the sale.
Well, once he gets arrested, if he continues to go down this road, that'll be a big lesson for him. Anything else?
I'm good.
Okay. Kelly?
No, I don't think so at this time. Let me think on
Okay. Mike and Leah.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like we did everything that we wanted to. I mean, my biggest thing was to hand out those flyers, and we did that. I don't think we'd do anything differently.
I would think though, I did feel like I felt like and it might have just been me though, that I felt like we were almost like a criminal. Like people, they were looking at us like we were some type of a criminal there. It was very uncomfortable. I feel like if that's a deputy sheriff who I think is appointed by the sheriff, and I don't know if he swears, an oath. I'm
He
not
does.
sure.
He
He
does.
does. Okay.
Okay. So he can be cited, correct?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, so I would think that he would try to support us a little bit more. He was definitely on the side, of the corporation, which he's probably been told to do many
It's
times.
what they've done for year their whole life, years.
Exactly.
But
That's all
one
they
of
know.
the I'm sorry. One of our biggest helps in this entire thing, Michael, is having this support right here. Everybody I can see on this call right here, everybody has been such a help to us. And when you have a little bit of help that shows up to a pretty intimidating courthouse, that meant so much. And it went a long ways because it was a little bit of a crowd that we had. I mean, only five or six because Mike ended up showing up, but it helps because you do feel a little more confident. And I think that they look at you, where it takes a little bit of their power away. I felt that. That's how I feel.
But
I'll
you
just
know
jump
what?
in. I'll just jump
Just
in here real quick and give you two of my personal experiences. One time when I was serving papers, and by this point I was well known to the entire courthouse, and I was there to serve papers on the district attorney's office and somebody specifically, and I went up to a sergeant who was fairly new to me. I didn't recognize him, and I was asking him a question on where to find a certain office or an individual. I don't recall. And he was starting to answer me, and then all of a sudden he stopped. He kind of like ended the conversation and like walked away. And I walked up to the gal that I was with, and she said, "You know, when you were talking to that sergeant, the other sergeant, the female, looked at him and waved as if to her hand with her finger up, saying, no, like, don't talk to him. And at that point, I realized, as soon as you walk into that courthouse, the entire courthouse is against you. If they know that you're, quote, bucking the system and sticking up for your rights, from the very lowest court officer that's doing the metal detector, all the way up to the supervising judge and the secretaries of the judges. And they all have phones and walkie-talkies, and they're all letting each other know what's going on. That's one experience. Two, one time when I was dragged into court, I put out on this group that I was with, if anybody can make it, I'd really appreciate it. And lo and behold, this one gal showed up. She drove, I think it was like an hour and a half, to just be there and support me. I wound up being falsely arrested that day, dragged away in handcuffs. And as soon as I was taken out of the room that we were in, the judge blurted out, okay, now we have to figure out what to arrest him for, what the charge is. Contempt is one thing, but now what? And if it wasn't for her being there and hearing that, I never would have known. And that I was able to use that later on. Now, about 15 minutes later, when the supervising judge showed up and ordered them to unarrest me and release me, everything went kind of like back to normal. But just by having that one gal there, that one person to observe and listen to what was being done and said outside of my presence was tremendous. So I just put out there, I put that out there for everybody. Okay, I'm sorry, Robin, you wanted to say something?
Oh, I just wanted to say that, the four of us there, the one thing that we did really do really, really well is stay in our heart space, and we were just really kind to everyone. And I think because our presence and the way we flowed with everybody, I think that really assisted us a lot. It did get us attention, but we remembered to stay in our heart center and not get a little flustered.
I also feel like they were definitely disheveled because we weren't following their system and didn't know their system and didn't operate in their system
And didn't care about their system.
and
This
didn't
is
care.
beautiful. Oh, that drives them crazy. What do you mean you're not with the program? What do you mean you're breaking out of the matrix? So beautiful. Thank you. All right. So now, Robin, how has this being involved with Mike and Leah's case helped you with yours? Because you also did filed all the papers to Homestead, right?
Yes, I did. And as a matter of fact, this week I've received some letters, one letter, and then five letters. And then I came home from work last night and there was a posting on my door, which means somebody was on my property without my permission.
And now, what are you going to do about that?
We're going to go in about a week or so and we're going to find an affidavit of service and find out who. Put that on there, and I'm pretty sure it is affiliated with the I think it's the PC office, the lawyers, Schneiderman and Sherman is the name.
Right. And that affidavit of service will be unequivocal, unrebuttable proof that they violated your no trespassing signs and embarrassed
Exactly.
you on your land, right?
Yep.
Okay. And then you're going to bring that to federal law enforcement, right?
Yes, I am. As a
Okay,
matter of
awesome.
fact, I am going to call the sheriff tomorrow and let him know what took place and see what kind of reaction I get.
Okay. Anything else?
Oh, that's right. They are auctioning my property next month on my birthday. Happy birthday, Robin. I thought that was kind of ironic. So there will be another. Like a situation like we did today, only over in my part of town. So, we're going to get
Okay. And
everybody together for that.
okay, do you want to give a date and location for that in case people don't hear, I'm sure you're going to talk about it on your show, but do you want to give a date and location for that sale?
Yes, it's going to be May 23rd, Muskegon County Courthouse is where it will take place.
What time? 9 a.m.
I don't believe I have a time just yet.
Okay, that
Yeah,
should have
so
come in
I'll,
the notice.
oh, wait,
Big
wait, wait.
violation
Yes.
if they don't tell you what time it starts.
Yes, 11 a.m. My apologies. So
Okay.
Muskegon County Courthouse, at 11 a.m., May 23rd.
Awesome. So if anybody could be there just to observe and listen, it would be a big help for Robin. Anything else, Robin?
No, that's it. It's been quite an experience, and boots on the ground. That's what we're doing. We're boots on the ground. We're going to learn and we're going to share.
Awesome. Okay, Kelly, same question for you. How has this helped you? Because you also have homesteaded your property. How has Mike and Leah's situation and being involved in it helped you?
Yeah, good question. It's one thing to hear about it from Q and to read about it and understand it. It's another thing to actually be going through it and experience it. So definitely hands-on awareness and doing it to support people we care about. I mean, it puts a whole different spin on it. It's not just theoretical. The one thing I'm more driven to is it really bothers me that they do these sheriff sales, and if somebody hadn't caught a piece of paper taped on their door, they wouldn't even have known about some of these. And in addition, it drives me to want to know how to protect our rights, because if they try to move forward with evicting somebody from the house, it just drives me to hold people accountable that should be doing the right thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And what you're touching on is what's called sewer service. There are very disreputable process servers out there that will claim that they served certain papers in a certain manner and never did. So that's an ongoing issue. But yes, something to be aware of. So is it fair to say that by supporting Lee and Kelly, not only did you help them, but you also helped yourself learn about the process?
Oh, absolutely. And
Great.
learn it for more in the future. Hands-on experience.
Awesome. Okay. And now, Mike and Leah, I'm tempted to ask you what your plans are going forward, but I won't because that gets into legal strategy, and I'm sure lots of people are going to be listening to this show. So, is there anything that you would like to share with us about the future and, how you intend to proceed? I
Yeah, you
wouldn't
know,
blame you if you said no.
well, I can say this, like we know that I'm glad we went through this process here, but what I don't know if this is a victory. I mean, if we feel good about today, right? But I still in my mind I feel like a little bit of okay, it's a victory, but we know that it's still at the in the bank's hands. So we're kind of anxious to see what the future holds. And so to answer your question, I'm not sure. What I would like is to have, well, I guess we'll wait till that and I'll tell you that one later. Like, I think it's,
Our biggest thing is we want this to go quickly. Like we don't want to wait. Oh, we've got a 6 month, period,
12 month in the house.
12 month maybe on the house of redemption period. We don't want that. Like we want it to go as quickly as possible because we're ready to start teaching this process to people. Like our building, we're ready. Like we could tomorrow have a slide to a presentation to community members. We've been working on that. So we're ready to go. And so my only hope is that this doesn't take very long because we're ready to start teaching. And we just know there's a lot of people in our area that we've been talking to about it, but nobody would be willing to start the steps until they see a win.
No way, yeah.
Because everyone's like, what's happening? What's happening? So that's our biggest thing. We want it to go quick so we can just move on and start teaching everybody.
Yeah, I'm with you.
It would be nice to get a phone call from the sheriff saying, "Hey guys, I'm sorry, I didn't understand what was going on."
Right.
I wouldn't hold my breath on that one.
No, I know.
No.
But in looking at this, I think you can chalk up today as a win. You won a battle because if nothing else, nobody bid on the either of the properties, right? You
Correct.
were there, you raised a brown flag on what they were trying to do with respect to the bad filing in the clerk's office. You raised a brown flag with regards to them knowing it's federally patented land. and that you have superior title. You raised a brown flag and stuck a stake in the ground saying, no bank, you can't minimize your losses and peddle this off to a lower, financially socioeconomic positioned individual or company. You're going to have to eat the whole loss eventually. And I'm sure the bank is very upset with that, right? Given their history. So yeah, you enjoy today, savor today. I'm sure more, I know more victories are going to be coming down the road, but today was definitely a win. So, okay, I'm sorry, did somebody want to make another comment before I go through parting comments?
Yep, one thing real quick. The gentleman, the white-haired gentleman, he did say there were at least three lawyers standing in that lobby.
Okay.
Yeah. And they're just waiting for you to do something wrong so they can try and cite you or whatever. But yeah. Okay. Excellent. Excellent. All right. Parting comments because we only have about 3 minutes left. Robin.
I think what happened today is a step to opening the door to the next step, and I was very honored to have the opportunity to be there to support Mike and Leah. Love you guys, and I'm next, and I'm ready for it. So let's keep on plugging away.
Awesome. Thank you, Robin. And thank you for supporting Mike and Leah today. Kelly?
My 90 days is up this coming week on my filing, and I just appreciate all the camaraderie and support and trust and love. Thank you.
Thank you, Kelly. And thank you also for supporting Mike and Leah. All right, Mike and Leah, who wants to go first? Parting comments.
Yes, we're just so happy that Robin and Kelly were there supporting us. It's been so helpful. I mean, there's been a couple times this week that I kind of had a few moments where I was out of my heart center and I got a little bit upset, and I called Robin and she calmed me down. I mean, I'm pretty mellow mostly, but this, I'm telling you, it's scary, but we're gonna win. Like, I know we're going to win. And I do want to make a comment too, real quick, that I know there's a lot of people that want to start this process, but they're confused by it. And I want everyone to know, like, I was a kindergarten teacher for 19 years, so my brain doesn't work this way. And we were able to do it. So I want to encourage everyone, on the homesteading show to just start it. Start it. We need more people. So
Yeah. And I would say that you guys are, all of you guys are reference. We need something. We ask. And I think I can, honestly, I could probably speak for you too, that if we call most every time, you guys pick up the phone. Everybody answers immediately. Like we can't thank you enough. And we could not do this without you. So thank you all, including you, Michael.
Thank you. I appreciate
And
that.
let's not forget BBS was there.
Absolutely. That's right.
Hey, you already
Definitely
went,
got
Robin. Just stop trying to
to
double dip.
thank
Mike
you.
and Leah, I want to thank both of you for having the intestinal fortitude and the moral clarity to go forward with this process and stand your ground. You are the way showers for at least Michigan, if not the entire country. Thank you, thank you, thank you for your leadership and guidance in this. And so, unless anybody has anything else, I'll thank BBS for being such gracious and professional hosts. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Please take it away.
Whoa!